Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 51 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Gotaka. Thanks for joining me again today on the podcast. It's going to be a little bit of a longer one. I've got Corey Levitt coming on. So he's the producer of the CCFR's Canada Downrange. They're also the publisher of High Capacity Magazine. And he's also the producer of Midlife Mayhem, another show coming up on Sportsman Channel Canada with a very special announcement about High Capacity Magazine. And then I've also got Tracy Wilson. Tracy and I are going to go through a bunch of different things going on in our community and also a report from Toronto City Council, which is quite interesting. All that and a whole lot more right after this.
Wolverine Supply is your one-stop shop for anything and everything firearms, optics, ammunition, accessories, and archery. Exclusive Canadian distributor for the industry's top-tier brands and manufacturers with access to some of the most sought-after products in the country. Our online store provides convenient shopping and full access to our entire inventory 24/7. For 30 years, Wolverine Supplies has been an industry leader in the firearms community and continuously strives to provide an unbeatable customer experience. Check us out online at wolverinesupplies.com and to sign up to our newsletter, that's wolverinesupplies.com.
All right, everybody, we're back, and I've got Tracy Wilson on the line. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Rod, how's it going?
I'm doing all right. So I've got a couple of things I wanted to kind of get caught up on, and there's quite a few things that are going to require Tracy's comment anyway. But the first thing I wanted to talk about was in New Zealand news, kind of a case study of where Canada is going. An interesting story popped up, and I actually created a meme and put it on Twitter myself and on Facebook. But basically, here's the gist of this whole thing. So on October 21st, 31st, so just not even a month ago, the deputy commissioner Mike Clement of National Police Force New Zealand or something was quoted in a story as saying, "If you think you still have plenty of time to hand in your prohibited firearms, think again." I can state absolutely for the record, there will be no extension and no exceptions. Those who do not make the cutoff will feel the full force of the law. So the cutoff to either register your firearm or to turn in all of these centerfire semi-autos that are prohibited or to apply for another license, the cutoff, I think, is December the 20th, and they have like 15% of the estimated firearms that they want turned in. So then, on November the 20th, 20 days later, they see that everybody's ignoring them, basically. And so he comes out and he says, there's effectively a permanent amnesty. So a permanent amnesty, meaning that no one that holds on to their AR-15s or whatever, their centerfire semi-autos with detachable magazines, their MSSRs, as they call them, those people won't be facing prosecution or confiscation. It's pretty funny because they've made a few missteps, including raiding a couple of people's homes and, of course, pointing guns at kids, just like I said in the infamous doctor's video, which they, said that, my God, how could you even imagine such a thing happening? Yet there in New Zealand, they're doing that. But it's interesting how the stories change there.
Well, it is interesting because at the beginning, it's sort of like, you will feel the full wrath of the Lord. It's like this, you're in big trouble thing. And then they turn around and say, actually, it's a permanent amnesty. Now the story is you just won't qualify for the buyback, right? But you won't be in trouble. You just won't get the buyback. And it's, I think this is a great example of, always watch that you don't overstep. And, the failure for people to comply in New Zealand should be a great symbol for governments in other countries looking at doing the same thing.
Yeah, like Canada. And, one of the big things I wrote was that these police, like politicians and police services and bureaucrats, they need to stop threatening law-abiding citizens. They need to stop doing that, because especially in, and this was the point that I made with this story, was when this Mike Clement guy, you know, made this threat, and then 20 days later he has to retract that, it undermines his credibility dramatically. And the problem is you want your police force to be credible, and you want your government to be credible and to act in a credible manner, because what that does is it sets a precedent for a lack of credibility and noncompliance. You don't want, you know, it's funny because you think that we're the ones that should be in as Bill Blair, you know, it's like, oh, you want to have an armed conflict with the police. Like we're actually the group that's trying to not have that, by the way. Mm-hmm. We're the group that doesn't threaten violence on other people while they threaten violence on us, because we, you know, it's also a group that understands violence. But you can't have police being viewed as like, oh, who cares what they say? It's optional. Like, that doesn't work. That's a breakdown of law and order. So anyway, all that to say, it's, you know, these guys make ridiculous bluffs. And right now they're sitting at 15% of firearms turned in. I have a hard time with, you know, 23 days left. I have a hard time imagining that they're even going to get to 50%. And even if they got to 50%, that would be a massive failure.
Oh, yeah. You're totally right. I would be shocked to see it even grow to twice what it is now at 30%, to be honest. And you know, as far as mass, you know, non-compliance, we can look right here in Quebec with their registry. I mean, their provincial registry has been also a complete failure. The majority of people who have complied and registered their firearms, of course, are retailers who have no choice, right? Because it's an automated thing. But yeah, I think these kinds of situations should be a really big red flag to these governments that they're just not doing the right thing.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. You'd think, you know, outsiders would go, oh, you know, the CCFR is probably pretty happy that New Zealanders are flipping their government the bird and their police. And in fact, it's quite the opposite. That's not a laughing matter to me. But anyway, this is the same road that that our gun control zealots in Canada want to head down. And I think between the Quebec registry being an absolute failure and this experiment in New Zealand being a failure, I don't know how any reasonable person that knows anything about this topic could support it. But anyway, moving on.
Uh-huh. Bill Blair's never exactly been a beacon of human rights. So, you know, yeah. I mean, we only have to look at the G20 for our answer to that. But these are crazy times.
Speaking of Bill Blair, he got sworn in as the Minister of Public Safety, and his old ministry has been folded in.
The Minister of Nothing is now the Minister of Something.
Well, yeah, but I guess they're using that same money for the Minister of Middle Class Development or whatever it is.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, Minister for the Middle Class.
Ah, so ridiculous. You know, people that don't understand how government works, they, you know, just a little bit of extra information for you. When they create these ministries, all they're doing is they're rewarding their friends, and they're also, like in the case of Bill Blair, becoming the minister of whatever it was, you know, people will forget what the name of that ministry was in another 2 months from now, like as if it never existed. But the reason they do that kind of stuff is Ralph Goodale didn't want to be painted with the same brush, you know, as the other gun grabbers, knew that it would destroy his political career, which it did anyway, and good on him. He had it coming for sure. But they created that because Goodale said, you know, find yourself a hatchet man that will do literally anything, like literally anything. I don't want it attached to me. And at the same time, they, you know, their deal with Bill Blair, I can only imagine what that looked like. It was probably like, listen, we're going to give you a ministry and a minister's pay, which is around $250,000 a year. No staff, but we're going to give that to you, but you got to be willing to sing any tune that we, you know, that we want you to sing. And Bill Blair is absolutely that guy. No question
totally.
About it.
No question at all. Yeah, he's more than happy to do that. So I think you're totally right. I do think it's interesting to see that portfolio, excuse me, that they created for organized crime and border security. That was Bill Blair's old title. It's interesting to see them just fold that right back in, as if, you know, as if targeting organized crime or, you know, the unsecure border, as if that's not a problem, right? Like, yeah, it's interesting. And I think you're 100% right in the fact that Goodale didn't want, you know, he didn't want to have to wear the dirty job that was going to come with kicking in doors and taking guns from legal owners, good people that have done nothing to deserve it. So, yeah, I think in the big picture, it actually worked out better for the Liberals with Goodale losing his seat, because now they can fold that all back under Blair, put a nice big red ribbon on it for him, and he's more than happy to kick in doors, kick in whatever they want. So, yeah.
Well, he's capable of anything, and I don't want to turn it into a Bill Blair bashing session here, but, you know, I've had personal interactions with Bill Blair. There's a really, really great interaction that we had in person. Obviously, the notorious, you know, the infamous Bill Blair video on the CCFR YouTube channel. But I tell you, as I was sitting there, and I said this before, right? Because we talked about this before on another podcast. But just his behavior then, before then, and up till now, there's been a lot of people in history. There's been a lot of Bill Blairs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not that I, you know, am obsessed with him. I just, you know, he just reminds me of lots of other people in history that will do literally anything as long as the government's behind him, like literally anything.
Yeah.
But anyway, so for the people that are concerned that, well, Bill Blair now is the, you know, of course, it was always going to be that way, because Trudeau doesn't need a thinker. He needs a hatchet man. And mm-hmm. Bill Blair or not, or Ralph Goodale, doesn't matter who's in that seat. The CCFR's plan still hasn't changed. We have a plan, and it will be revealed in a couple of months, and it's big, and it doesn't matter who's sitting in that seat. So him having that seat should not be a reason for concern to anybody.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One more announcement that I wanted to make, and then we're going to talk about a couple of other things. Actually, you know what? Let me hold that. We're going to go for a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to finish off this conversation with Tracy Wilson.
Once you lose rights, it's nearly impossible to get them back. Right now, there are politicians and bureaucrats working day and night to eliminate your ability to own and use firearms in Canada. They're talking about not allowing you to keep your firearms at home and even taking away the ones you already have. It's not a joke. It's not an exaggeration. Activism is a lot of work, and most people don't have the time. But something that you can do is support the CCFR. For $40 a year, you can be a part of the hardest working firearm organization in Canada and get $5 million worth of insurance. The CCFR lobbies government and works to improve the public image of gun owners through media and educational campaigns. Protect your own ability to own and use firearms before it's too late. Go to firearmrights.ca and click Why Join. That's firearmrights.ca.
All right, we're back. So one quick announcement I wanted to make is, well, really two, it's a two-in-one announcement. Number one, in the next day or two, we will have the CCFR's Canada Downrange teaser trailer. It's about 3 minutes long. That is done. I've got episodes on their way to me for final approval as well. We're going to premiere our television show for the second season in January 2020. And so we look forward to seeing that trailer floating around social media and on the YouTube page. And also, we got our channel schedule for the first quarter for 2020. So I just wanted to pass that on. So our show will be showing on Sportsman Channel Canada on Tuesdays at 9:30 a.m., Wednesdays at 5 p.m., Thursdays at 9:30 p.m., and Sundays at 11 a.m., So our show will be running four times per week on Sportsman Channel. So pretty cool.
Those are great time slots too. I mean, you know, it's kind of Sunday morning, get up and watch some gun stuff, the evening time slots, you know, like those are great. I'm really excited. I can't wait to see season two.
Mm, and it's going to be really great. And when you see the teaser trailer, you'll see the quality of the footage and yeah. So it's pretty cool.
That's great.
All right. Now on to the next thing. just a little, as quick as you can, a synopsis of what's been going on at City Hall. You were there at Toronto City Hall to see the total buffoonery that's going on there.
Yes, I actually went to Toronto and attended the circus quickly. I just stopped the day before, actually, at Queen's Park and had a visit with the Ontario Premier's office. So I met with Doug Ford's people. That's good. He doesn't support any of the craziness, which is great because the following day, of course, I ended up at Toronto City Council. And here was where they were going to be voting on the measures that were put forth from the Toronto Board of Health, which, of course, is, you know, involves the lobby doctors and, you know, they want gun bans looked at through a public, you know, health lens and all this craziness. So I was there. Alison DeGroote from the CSAAA was there as well. She represents the retailers, importers, and manufacturers. I represent the gun owners. So there was and a couple interesting points. I'm just going to make them really quickly. So first of all, there was a series of, I think it was 8 or 9 measures that were brought forward from the Board of Health. The original version of that did not include gun bans. The original version of that was discussed with the community activist groups and the at-risk youth groups and all of those groups didn't talk about gun bans at all. That was kind of snuck in at the 11th hour. That was split off at the meeting yesterday, which I, you know, for the sake of those groups, I think it's good because that entire dialogue was totally hijacked by the anti-gun lobbyists and the activist doctors. And I think there was a lot of good measures in there, aside from the gun bans, obviously, that would have a, you know, a positive impact on the community and the people dealing with the trauma. So that was good. So it was separated. Now, the part that I was there to talk about, or well, to listen to, was about the gun and ammo bans. And of course, that was passed in a vote of 21-2. This is of no surprise, because the City of Toronto has already passed a motion to ask the federal government for a national handgun ban. So this is just political theater. Let's make sure we do it again. And we really support this motion. It's a complete waste of time, a waste of taxpayers' money. And it was interesting. Councillor Michael Thompson, I believe he represents Scarborough. He stood up and I've got a video of this. I'm trying to get it up online, but he stood up and the way it works in these city council meetings is the councillors have different questions or, you know, different debate points that they want to discuss. And basically they debate or they ask questions to the staff of the city. So the city staff is there. There's, I don't know how many were there, 60 or 80 of them. And they sort of, you know, put different ones out at the desk to deal with the different topics of conversation. So they had two panels of, you know, city staff experts that the councillors could ask their questions to. So Councillor Michael Thompson stood up and he asked a very simple question, something that I was actually shocked why this hadn't already been asked. But he asked to the staff and the other experts in the room if anybody could describe how to legally acquire a firearm in Toronto. He said, how do you buy a gun? How do you actually go and buy a legal gun? And in this video, I will get it up here eventually online, but you see they're sort of dumbfounded and they're all looking at each other, you know, and you see me in the audience sitting beside Allison and I sort of lean in like, oh boy, here it comes, right? And of course, nobody could answer. And the speaker of the council, who's sort of like the speaker of the house, she says, the question is, how do you buy a legal gun? Does anybody even know? And nobody did. So you see Allison and I put our hands up, even though we're not part of this council meeting, we're literally in the audience. And she motions over to us. She says, well, I've got people in the audience with their hands up, but does nobody here know how to buy a legal gun? And of course, the answer was no. Michael Thompson, Councillor Thompson, was so annoyed at the fact that here we're talking about, you know, the forced confiscation of legal guns from gun owners, and they don't even have a clue what it took for those people to own those guns. He gets up as soon as nobody could answer his question, and he walks out. And the other councillors are like, Michael, where are you going? What's happening? And he just shook his head, you know, waved his hand like, you know, screw this, and he storms out of council chambers. It was amazing. And I was like, I don't blame you, buddy. They went ahead with the vote, and of course it passed anyways. Councillor Josh Matlow also stood up and he sort of spoke about how they were missing the mark on financing some of these community projects, investing in effective outreach programs, of course, he ended up voting yes to the handgun ban anyways. But, you know, it's funny. There are some concerns and some things being brought up. And they're like, well, whatever, let's just vote to ban guns, right? So it was really, really frustrating for us sitting there. And you can hear in the video that I did get posted up online last night that I'm sitting there and I'm like, wow, they don't even know what's involved in buying a gun legally. Like, they don't know what the process is. And Louis March from Communities for Zero Gun Violence, or the Zero Gun Violence Movement, I guess it's called, he came over and he said, these are the people that we are entrusting to make decisions for our community, and they don't know the simplest of things. They have no clue what they're talking about. And you hear me say to him, they don't know, Louis, they don't even know. It's in complete and utter incompetence and virtue signaling. And, you know, the best part of the whole thing was looking around at Toronto City Council. I think they're reduced down to 24, 27 members. And of course, that's half of what they used to have. So I'm looking at the, you know, all these empty seats that used to belong to even more useless councillors. And although the incompetence hasn't been slashed, at least the funding to this committee, to this council has, because, you know, just really disappointing on all levels. And I think it speaks to the quality of leadership that city is stuck with. So, yeah, that was neat. The, you know, that was kind of the highlight was Councillor Michael Thompson and his infamous question, which I'll get up for everyone. They're just going to go crazy over it.
All right, let's move on to the next thing. Facebook. So you've been...
I don't know if I'm in Facebook jail or purgatory or Facebook hell. Yeah. I don't know.
So you're having a timeout for some reason. We don't know why that is.
No.
You haven't posted anything bad or anything that would deserve you to be in Facebook jail for, although they have had interactions with you since that might imply that they think your account's been compromised.
Well, that's what I think it is. Yeah. The original kind of warning that I got this morning was that they've noticed, you know, unusual or abusive activity on my account, and I had to verify my identity. So I plunked in my phone number, plunked in my email. Then they asked for a photograph of my face, a clear photograph. I gave them that, and they, you know, the message was, okay, we'll review this and get back to you. Now, it's been all day. Nothing's happened. So I tried to create a second account, you know, something to use in the meantime, so I can at least function until they get it sorted out. And the same thing happened. It was up and running for about 10 minutes and it was shut down with the exact same questions. So, you know, at this point, honestly, I have other things to worry about. I'm sure I'll get back up online eventually, or at least I hope so. But it shows how quickly the switch can just get flipped and you're out in the dark, right? So...
Yeah. And so I would imagine that you'll be back on. I mean, you know, but who knows? So we are at the mercy of the social media companies, and we, you know, it's unfortunately a lot of times they don't act as a good faith partner. They act in bad faith, but we're hoping for the best. So anyway, the reason why we bring that up is we have a big social media presence on Facebook in particular. So my message to everybody is, if you are not a member of the CCFR, make sure that you go to firearmrights.ca and join our emailing list. So it's really important that you do that. We need to have your email address so that we can send out information. God forbid we get shut down on Facebook. I also went to MeWe today. Now, way back, we had a Facebook scare a little while ago, I think in 2016. And we opened a MeWe group, but I went to look for it on MeWe and it's not there. So I started a new one. So if you go to MeWe.com, that's MeWe.com, and you just search for Canadian Coalition for Firearm Rights, you should find our group. And basically, if all other accounts go dark, that's where you'll find us on social media. You'll also find us on Twitter and, of course, on YouTube and, of course, on our website. So checking the website, checking firearmrights.ca is a good thing to do once in a while just to see what's going on. But make sure that we have your email address. So, you know, if we were kicked off Facebook, that would be quite damaging, but it might be the push that we need to relocate our operations to some place that that operates a little bit in better faith and operates a little more fairly. So anyway, I wanted to let people know that. So make sure that we have your email address and make sure that you're monitoring all our other stuff too, in case something goes wrong with Facebook.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, I think we'll wrap it up for now. So thanks for all the hard work, Tracy.
Hey, no problem.
And tolerating sitting through that meeting. What a mess. Yeah. Anyway, okay, awesome. Thanks for coming on, and we will see you next time.
All right, see you soon.
What would you think if you heard the government decided that your rifle or shotgun is now too dangerous to own? What if they told you that you couldn't keep it at your house, that you had to pay to store it at some central storage facility? What if they told you that you had to surrender it for destruction or go to jail? These actions are being discussed in government in Canada right now. Think about this. Have you taken any action whatsoever to prevent this from happening? Well, you can. For $40 a year, you can support the hardest working firearm organization in Canada, the Canadian Coalition for Firearm Rights, and get $5 million worth of insurance. The CCFR lobbies government and works to improve the public image of gun owners through media and educational campaigns. Protect your own ability to own and use firearms before it's too late. Go to firearmrights.ca and click Why Join. That's firearmrights.ca.
All right, on the Skype, I've got Corey Levitt of a variety of different organizations and businesses, but probably best known for the Coat of Arms channel and being the producer of Midlife Mayhem, the series that's coming up on Sportsman Channel Canada. And of course, the CCFR's Canada Downrange. How's it going, Corey?
I'm doing good, Rod. Thanks for having me on.
You sound tired.
Exhausted, man. We've been going nonstop for a long while.
Yeah, I'll bet. So I'm going to cut right to it because this episode's going to run long. But you have an announcement to make about High Capacity Magazine.
Absolutely. So we've been trying to decide what we're going to do, whether we're going to be a quarterly magazine again for 2020. So that's 4 issues a year, or are we going to go up to 6 issues and be bi-monthly? We hemmed and hawed on that for a little while, and we actually made the decision. There's been so much positive feedback, and I thank everybody for supporting us. And yes, we're going 6 issues for 2020.
Awesome. So things are going well at the magazine. You know, it's getting the circulations rising. I know that the CCFR members have bought, you know, a fair amount of subscriptions. So that's good.
Oh, absolutely. I can't say enough about the support on all sides. I mean, it's been coming in for us. The growth on it has been absolutely mind-boggling for us. And just trying to keep up with it has been yet again a task. But we've brought some new team members on board to help manage that. So we're super stoked about that. And we also have a couple partners that we're going to be announcing coming 2020. So we have a partnership with Vortex. As you are aware, there's always an article in there from Vortex. And we have a couple more that we're going to be bringing on. We're really excited about announcing for 2020 as well. And as you're aware, with that, going to 6 issues, there's an added costs associated with that. But we're also giving some value added, right? Some value back with the 2 additional issues. So it's going up to $29.99. But as always, promise to give that discount to the CCFR members. You can get it as a member for $15, $14.99.
So it's going up $30 a year, and that's for 6 issues mailed right to your house.
Correct.
And it's 50% off for if you're a member of the CCFR, if you're renewing or you're a new member.
Absolutely, it is. We value the support of the CCFR and all of the members. You know what? It's growing so quickly, and we can't wait to share what we have coming for 2020.
Outstanding. So now we haven't worked through all the details yet because I just found out about this today, as you well know. Yes. And I guess if you go to firearmrights.ca and you go to renew your membership or you go to buy a membership, you'll have an option to purchase a year's subscription to High Capacity Magazine. So you do it at that time. So I guess from today on, you will have, if you buy that subscription, it'll be $15, right? Just under $15. And that'll be for 6 issues.
That is correct.
Yeah, that's outstanding. And congratulations on the success of the magazine. That's awesome.
Thank you. We couldn't have done it without the support of the CCFR and our incredible community. And you know what? Everybody's just been backing all the projects that we have been working on. And, you know, we couldn't be more thrilled with the support as a whole.
Well, speaking of projects, any update on Midlife Mayhem?
Well, Midlife Mayhem was launched. We launched a trailer about 5 or 6 days ago now, and the support has been incredible. We've had so many people contacting us, trying to find out how can they get this, or, you know, it's not part of their cable package. How can they do that? And the best I can give you is call your cable company, because every one of them is different, and ask what part of the, or what package would include Sportsman Canada. So that's the key item that you want to ask your cable provider. And that's how you're going to get the show specifically. And again, it was so much fun to produce. We're still actually producing it as we speak. So it's been a bit crazy. But, you know, it was a ton of fun. The trailer has received so much support. And again, we're just so thankful.
Yeah, the trailer's really great. Is there a specific place that people can go to see the trailer?
Yeah, so if they go to our YouTube channel, Coat of Arms TV, if you Google Coat of Arms TV, our YouTube page pretty much comes up. It's the best way to get it. All of our social media is shared on Facebook, Instagram, Coat of Arms TV as well. So that's the best place to check it out. And please share it. That's the best way you could support us on that is share it and provide feedback. Leave some comments. You like it, you don't like it. Maybe what would you like to see in season two? You know, something along those lines. And we are still filming some episodes. So if there's some ideas or anybody wants to reach out to us in that regard, please reach out. We love the collaboration with everybody in our community.
The trailer was fantastic. Like, I loved it. I thought it was really great. You said a couple of people thought it was too long, but I think I think it's just over 3 minutes, but when you watch it, you're like, I wish I could see like 15, 20 minutes of this stuff. It's really, I mean, you got people rappelling out of helicopters with stinking attack dogs holstered. Come on, man.
Yeah, it was a whole lot of fun. You know, it's more of an honor to be able to be part of that. That was at the Navy SEAL and UDT museum that took place. And, you know, we were very honored to be part of that that episode with them. And we have some very important special guests as part of that episode as well. So I'm really excited about sharing that. And that was all sourced from Bad and Canine. Our friend Josh from Bad and Canine sourced all that for us. And what an incredible gentleman he is. And his family and their story is incredible too. So we're looking forward to being able to share these stories.
Yeah, that's totally awesome. Okay, so any update on Canada Downrange? As some people might know, you guys are producing it for us. So
yeah, season two, we're all over it. Yeah, we couldn't be happier about that. The footage we have, the interactions we've had with people across Canada, you know, in all different aspects of the shooting sports, stuff that I've never even heard of before, you know, and I've been in this community for a little while and I'm learning new things every day, long range pistol shooting and techniques to doing that. I think it's going to blow some people's minds, this season. It really is, in terms of what's out there. But yeah, it's coming along good. I'm actually at the studio right now, in the middle of, reviewing some episodes that we need to deliver to you very shortly. So we've got, I think, 7 episodes coming up for delivery to the CCFR on December 1st. So we've been busy, busy. And our schedules, for anybody that is not part of Sportsman Channel, we're delivering 2 brand new shows at the same time, launching January 2020, Canada Downrange Season 2 and Midlife Mayhem. So if there was ever a chance to, or ever an opportunity to be able to get the Sportsman Channel, this would be it.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. And that's all completely original, never before seen, content. So really cool. Now, speaking of this, of Canada Downrange, we have been, you know, shooting back and forth the teaser trailer for our show. When is that going to come out officially?
Well, you know what? We have a version that, we're going to fire off to you, so that, you can get we can get your approval on that. I think you're going to like some of the changes we made. And the way I'm looking at it, if you fire it back as, you know, thumbs up, then it should be ready to go. I'm thinking early next week. So probably I'd say no later than December 1st. I think what a great date that would be to launch the trailer.
Sure. That sounds great. Awesome. Well, I'm going to let you go because this, as I said, this episode is going to run long, but I appreciate the update and congratulations on all the success over at High Capacity Magazine.
Thanks as always, Rod. Really appreciate it.
All right, that's going to do it for episode 51 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. A couple of things I just want to remind you guys. Don't forget, if you're a CCFR member or not, whatever you do, you got to make sure that we have your email address. So if you're not a member, for whatever reason, you don't want to become a member of the CCFR or what have you, that's fine. Get on our mailing list. So go to firearmrights.ca. Scroll all the way down to the page and just join our mailing list. Man, we are really terrible at sending out emails, so you're not going to get spammed by us, but we have to be able to get a hold of you should we need to. So whatever you do, get on our mailing list as soon as possible. If you're not a member of the CCFR and you're thinking of becoming one, go down to firearmrights.ca right now, and you can opt into High Capacity Magazine for half price, half the retail price, and it gets delivered right to your home now 6 times a year. So don't miss out on that part of it. So other than that, really appreciate all the support. Don't forget to share this podcast. Thanks, everybody, and we will see you soon.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.